And now on Nights with Steve Price, it's time for Health Matters. Thanks to Sydney Adventist Hospital. Healthcare, education, research, yours for life.
Best experts in the business are at the SAN. Now, in February this year, you might remember, and this was quite a big debating point at the time, medications containing codeine were made prescription only. There was people very much in favour of that idea, and there was a lot of debate and criticism about it at the same time. They include common painkillers like Nurofen Plus and Panadeine. Now, I've said to my audience before, I'm very lucky that I'm pretty healthy, and I'm the sort of person who's never taken any of those sorts of prescription drugs. It's just something that I've not required. I mean, I might have taken a headache tablet once a long time ago, but it's just not something that I actually use. But the change was made because of concerns over opioid addiction. We've seen the damage it's done in the United States, and we do fear that it could happen here. Dr. Alan Nazar is an interventional pain specialist and pain physician at the Sydney Adventist Hospital. He's on the line. Great to catch up with you, Doctor.
No, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you very much, Steve.
I guess I'm probably one of the few people in my 60s who's not had to take prescription drugs.
I think you're a very lucky man if that's the case. It's not uncommon, considering how prevalent chronic pain is in our society. And a significant number of patients who are very sort of, for lack of a better word, tend towards using prescribed medications for pain.
And I guess if you have that chronic pain, the pain that you are dealing with regularly with your patients, and anyone who's had really bad chronic pain, any relief is big relief because it must be dreadful to try and live with.
That's correct. So a lot of patients they'll be enduring the pain, they're suffering to a great extent. And unfortunately, opioids aren't really the answer. So, you know, drugs such as codeine, which have been taken off over the counter and need a prescription, or similar drugs such as oxycodone or oxycontin, these are drugs that have morphine-like properties and are derived from morphine, have significant long-term side effects. So that'd be beneficial in what we call acute pain. So if someone had an injury, they broke their leg, they've had recent surgery, and once someone overcomes that injury, then generally we'd like to see them tapering off those medications. The problem, however, is when the pain becomes chronic, when it becomes persistent. So you have a healing of a broken leg, the person had their spine operation or they've had their knee operation, and they have persistent pain. And they continue to remain upon these medications. And these medications can have significant side effects in both the short and long term. And patients can become tolerant to the medications. They can become dependent. And probably the most concerning thing is, as you've alluded to in the United States with the opioid epidemic, the term we tend to use is addiction, as society, other psychiatrists prefer to use the term substance use disorder.
Arthritis would be another affliction that I imagine you deal with a lot of people who have arthritic pain who do need drug relief.
That's correct, yes. So arthritis is a very common affliction, especially with our ageing population. And it's eluded us in medicine to a significant extent, trying to treat age-related arthritis with medication. There are certain operations that can be performed, such as hip replacement, which generally has fairly good success rates, but there are other operations which generally aren't as successful, and patients have had to resort to medications to assist in managing their pain. As I sort of alluded to before, is the problem is that they would be started on an opioid by some practitioners, and it's only a matter of time before the drug loses its effect, so the patient becomes tolerant to it. I guess a good example would be, you know, most doctors, I don't know about you, Steve, we love coffee, and I'm a double shot person. If you give me a single shot, it's not going to do a thing. I've got to have a stronger coffee. The problem with prescribed medications like opioids, once you become tolerant, you can keep increasing it, and the person will become more and more tolerant. And with time, they'll become dependent upon the medication, meaning that if you suddenly withdraw the medication, they experience drug withdrawal. And so it's almost like having chemical handcuffs. So to a great extent, we never really see a significant improvement in the patient's pain in the long term. And in the long term, we do see those side effects that that I mentioned before. So these are things where you're going to have cognitive decline. It can affect their respiratory system, so what we call ventilatory impairment, worsen sleep apnea. And they can also sometimes have a paradoxical effect where if you're taking high doses of these drugs for a prolonged period of time, you can have what we call opioid-induced hyperalgesia, where the patient becomes a bit more sensitized to pain.
We're talking to Dr. Alan Nazza from the SAN. I think your coffee analogy is fantastic, Alan. I really think that people would be able to relate to that completely because you do, over your life, ramp up your coffee strength. There's no doubt about that. What did you make of the over-the-counter withdrawals? You're obviously supportive.
I think it's a very difficult situation. I think it's a hard thing to comment on for a number of different reasons. There are people who did benefit from it occasionally, so there were people who would only use it intermittently, and unfortunately there were situations where there was abuse of the medication. I believe that the biggest problem with codeine is, from my perspective, is its efficacy. So codeine actually needs to be metabolized by your body to become morphine. So not many people are aware of that. Codeine, so you swallow the codeine pill, your liver metabolizes it, and it becomes morphine. And the problem is it requires an enzyme to metabolize this particular drug. And some people have lots of this enzyme, and other people have none of this, or very little of this enzyme. And the people who have a lot of this enzyme metabolize the codeine into a lot of morphine. And in some situations, you can have a breastfeeding mother who has utilized the codeine. She metabolizes it and it gets turned into morphine, expresses in the breast milk, and can be, knock out a baby. So this is the problem, the sheer variability in the effect this drug has. And the one thing we like to pride ourselves in medicine to some extent is we try and limit that variability when we're treating patients. We want a drug that's predictable and that has been studied extensively. And for a drug like codeine to be readily available over the counter without any knowledge of whether a patient is one of these rapid metabolizers or ultra metabolizers versus a poor metabolizer does make it very difficult.
In your field, have you seen many natural pain relievers that work? I'm talking exercise, a whole range of things.
Oh, exercise is fantastic. So look, you're quite right. This is where we should be moving into the future with pain management. Basically a multimodal and a multidisciplinary approach. So exercise is definitely has its benefits. So we have a concept known as exercise-induced hypoalgesia. For some reason, men actually get this more than the female population, where your body releases, for lack of a better term, feel good.
It's like when you go for a run physical exercise, you feel more mentally alert afterward. Well, I do anyway.
Yeah, so precisely. So your body can release sort of natural painkillers to some extent.
Yep.
And these will have certain benefits. We are aware that obviously weight loss, stopping smoking, cigarette smoking definitely does not help with chronic pain, especially with certain conditions such as any condition where there is neuropathic pain, otherwise known as nerve pain. So there is definitely better control of a person's diabetes would help, especially if they've got nerve pain. These are definitely beneficial. There are, for lack of a better term, we use the term natural therapies. There are natural therapies out there that may be beneficial in certain conditions. I think the main thing we sort of need to understand is not all pains are the same. So whether it's pain in your back or knee or nerve pain, they're not all the same and they do require different strategies and different treatments.
Great to tap into your expertise, Dr. Nazza. Thank you very much. And thank you to all the wonderful people at the SAN who do a great job. Nice to talk to you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.